So yesterday was my last day. Cleaned out all my music files, all my instant messenger files, all my little weird things. But that computer that I had was so fucked by the end that I'm sure they're just going to trash it.
Yeah.
In order to get from like when it launches to the desktop being functioning.
Do you really want to be nasty and put a password in BIOS?
Well, in order to get from the startup to the desktop, there's four different times when it gives you error messages when you have to click return.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the desktop, there's like all these like weird error messages, and I knew enough to just click OK. But I know that whoever sits in front of that computer, the moment they get the semantic virus uninstaller will not work. The Norton uninstaller will not work. For some reason, it thinks somebody wants it to uninstall Norton. And it won't do it. It's like four error messages, and I know that when they get to the first one, they're going to be like, this computer doesn't work. Because I told you about the two IT guys that came down.
Yeah.
You know, the one that kept saying restart it.
Why don't you just go to the moon?
What?
Never mind.
I'm sure you could fix it, or at least do more than they did, but all I did was I went to the repair kit.
Our tech people, and they just go to the new image on it.
They go what?
What's the new image on it?
Oh, please. Why would her play? Can she like me?
I don't know.
Kind of wipe it out.
It's Harvard.
You think Harvard
they keep IT people on who can't fucking fix computers and they get rid of me.
Don't get up in my rules. No Polish rules.
So go figure. Your 99th meeting theme song may be kind of ribald. I don't understand it myself.
There were definitely times when it didn't look like it was going to get this far.
In her mouth, that she knows what it's all about. I'm sorry, that's terrible.
Jim.
I apologize.
Misbehaving.
Well, I was
out of hand.
Ribald. The naked and ribald. Ribald is a
very ribald.
You know, I remember when I was a kid, we used to have this reviewer. His name was William Sapphire, and he was in the Lowell Sun. And he always hated all. This guy hated The Graduate.
William Sapphire?
William Sapphire.
He's famous.
Is this the William Sapphire?
The William Sapphire?
Or is this some guy?
I don't know. They did a write up from him in Boston, the Lowell Sun in Massachusetts.
Was it syndicated?
It must have been. And he hated The Graduate. Of course, The Graduate was one of the best movies ever made. But I have found that
Lee William Sapphire is a flaming conservative.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he hated it.
That's probably why.
But it was one of the best movies ever made.
Right. So you had a good time seeing Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor. I thought Pearl Harbor was excellent.
Good. Good to hear.
D-Ray. So there once was a note, pure and easy, playing so free like a breath rippling by. And whatever happened to all that fucking good old hippie shit? These quotes from Pete Townsend illustrate what this grandmaster of rock and roll was searching for in the 60s and what happened to the answer 30 years later. There once was a note, pure and easy, playing so free like a breath rippling by. The note is eternal, I hear it, it sees me. Forever we blend and forever we die. 30 years later, whatever happened to all that old fucking happy bullshit? Whatever happened to that hippie shit? He goes on to say that it's all lies and games and deceit. And what happened to the truth? What happened to the dream? I believe that the more enlightened members of our culture, such as those that attend Jellicoe Guild meetings on a regular basis, are very aware of alternative and alternate routes to the truth. Money and technology may ultimately lead to the truth. The premise of capitalism, after all is said and done, it implies that the wealthy members will reinvest their assets. They reinvest their assets, and of course there has the trickle-down effect to the less fortunate members of society, in theory. Medical technology will eventually discover the truth. Through manipulation of cells on a microgenetic level, I think we'll all agree to this. In theory, this may or may not occur in a lifetime, but it will probably occur. The ideas that have been put forth by our government to promote greater diversity and opportunity have not worked because corporations running this planet cannot let go of their propensity for greed. So much for the truth via capitalism and technology. This is, in a nutshell, my argument for a society based on truth, which I alluded to in my first State of the Union, my first State of the World essay about 6 years ago. The present state of the world is one of rural anarchy as measured by the descending lack of truth that surrounds us.
Everybody.
The revolutions have begun as evidenced by the violence taking place at the Economic Summit in Canada. I have never advocated violence. Communism seems to fit my shoe with a perfect size 11. However, there is a moment to reflect on what will and still change or prevent it. Wars throughout this country's history took place for self-preservation. People know that the separation of haves and have-nots will grow wider if these trade barriers are lifted. The most annoying question that the country's leaders have to reconcile is, who's going to do the fucking work? All right? How can we reflect upon the truth when working in an environment that robs the soul of spiritual energy so blatantly? The technology that has been amassed during the last decade cannot replace the truth. This is not to imply that religion can lead to the truth, although spiritual revelation can certainly be used as a nonviolent tool to live the truth. We live on a planet with finite resources, and, I mean, our government wants to build more nuclear reactors. Everything around us is made up of vibrations, even inanimate objects. The speed of these vibrations...
Or as Homer Simpson says, nucleons.
The speed of these vibrations determine the density of the physical matter in question. Also, the degree of consciousness can alter the speed of molecular vibrations even more. The truth can be revealed when these vibrations are slowed down and interrupted. This can be done through meditation or the use of psychedelic mediums such as LSD. But a society tuned on to the type of spiritual self-guidance would be a culture turned off to Wall Street, as stated so eloquently by Donald Piesky in his book, A Generation in Motion. This explains the recent beginnings of the new economic revolution. People recognize that the state of the world is like a straight fucking pretzel already baked. It is filled with a conundrum of ingredients that are added to the recipe after the damage is done. The pretzel is condemned to an unwanted shape. In either shape, it will...
Young pretzel?
It will crack when eaten. In either shape, it will crack when eaten. Building more reactors and pretzels will only compound the energy problem.
Stop those pretzels!
The use of the planet's resources to expand energy more efficiently is the same as a deformed pretzel. It will result in absolute chaos.
Chaos.
Another issue that will not resolve is the Middle East wars. Israel, Syria, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, Iraq, Iraq. are all intent on blowing each other up because they... they each believe that God is on their side. There are so many cross-cultural differences between this country and the Middle East that another essay could be written on this subject alone. What transcends these differences, however, is that the Middle East is an example of what happens when religion, technological greed, and capitalism combines to create spiritual decadence. The truth is nowhere to be found because no one looks for it. The truth will remain. The truth is life. The truth is life and death as we know it. We must throw aside aspirations and accept what we have. An opportunity to slow things down and discover what was meant to be discovered, the truth, the universal truth.
Woo-hoo! Wow, that was good. Thank you.
You're welcome. No
problem. Great performing.
That's okay.
Jim, that was really good. Damn, that was a Knickerbockerian speech.
Pretzels, anyone?
Do you remember who was that first meeting?
No. I know who wasn't. Burke was not there. Burke didn't come on board until a couple meetings later. I remember the early meetings were really well attended, and if you can believe them, believe me, the first year, the first full year, 89,
yeah,
we had at least a dozen meetings. We might have had 13.
Wow.
We had a meeting every month. Yes, sir?
Bigger price.
What?
What?
I thought you had were making the point.
I don't remember when this first meeting.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I saw the look on your remembering look on your face. Well, Jim wasn't. You were. I was. Mark Bergeron was. The Reverend from Grand Central came to a lot of our meetings. Heitner was there. John Barton possibly. Jim Gregory possibly. Well, he gave me the. The
Not
template for
the first
postcard. Yeah, it was well. But you know, I didn't start keeping records.
And he was there. Frank Clemenza.
Clemenza was there. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
And her boyfriend.
God, yeah. It's kind of bothered. Yeah, Nika. But really, that was. I really liked her. She was a good woman. She was actually at the New Britain Writers Club, which is where we met, and what was formerly a part of the inspiration for Joseph. Met in the basement of the New Britain Public Library. Then the guy who started decided he was going to make money off all of us, so we had this meeting where he suddenly was being this book salesman guy, and he was going to sell us all these books on learning how to write.
Uh-huh.
That was the last meeting. Are you ready for me to start, Jim? Or are you still warming up? Or is it hard to tell? Alright, here we go. So, this is a story that is going to be... It's not 72 pages long. Its intended length is 600 pages. I've been writing it for now 9 months, and it's only gotten to 72, so... I may be working on this one for years. However, at least we can launch into it and see what happens. It's called Things Change, which is a quote from Jim Burke. He said to me on the phone, last year he left me a message saying, just remember, things change. The title is my response to Mr. Burke's comment on the phone, in which I respond to your comment, things change, question mark.
And I will in turn accompany this piece by playing timbre in the background or a lot of harmonics, as requested by the author.
And the subtitle is Six Thresholds, A New Fiction. With the epitaph.
Epitaph.
Epitaph. On the stone. On the funeral stone. On the burial stone, right? Epitaph. Epigraph, nothing I see can be taken from me. Fish. Bug, 2000.
Epigram.
What?
Epigram.
Sorry. Epigraph. Epigram is a pithy little... Am I right, Mark? Wait, let's get a second. Epigraph is the little thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
Epigram is like a little saying, right?
Yeah.
And an epitaph is on the burial stone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad we have it all, you know, squared away, as it were. Squared top, it's got a bottom, it's got sides. Yeah. It's here on the table, you know, if they want to carry it away, they can. You know, it's right here. It's right here.
You are the weakest link, goodbye.
All right. Wet my whistle. Something not yet word, nor yet shine, yet beyond shadow, no longer blue fancy. I don't know, a game this cosmos, time plus play. Something from somewhere, wreckage of a dream, not yet word, nor yet shine, no longer blue fancy. She turns away. I follow the path
Her dark eyes trace through lights and trees, through mortal noise, trackless, breathless path. I follow, wishing to learn. She turns back to me and smiles, dazed, and smiles. I drop and dropped. Then she must catch me too, must teach me, must show me how to learn. Not yet word, nor yet shine, not hardly blue fancy. Night burbles full of details. Night is secret governance of all. Night is scripture and confession, truth and heresy. Lights full of water, flames floating, flesh. She turns away again. I close my eyes and discover better how to follow what reveals to he who does not seek. World not revolving, no, world undulating, world mist and meat, world history and undifferentiation, world the plow and the pen, wet with desire, dry with mortality, world floating, careening, crashing, creating music, world all music, world is all music, all music. The flow of energy into, out of creation, time as mischief floating nowhere, everywhere, time spun by fear, evaporated by laughter. She's tickling again, it's how she tells me certain things. What words? None. Her touch dances and presses, fingers telling of colors she's been dreaming. No formula yet for their pigment. Laughter rips through kings and maps, laughter fringy with weeping like always. Universe, we do not know thee most times. We mistake thine glimmer for thine truth. Art thee grasped somewhat, listening to heartbeat falling through water? Universe, we writhe and reduce thy depths to our tears, our twinklings, our lingual writhings. We are things, we are animals, we are spirits, all in one. We pray while deaf. We are someone from somewhere. Who are we? Bird noise explains, but we speed past. Dusk drips meaning midst shadows. We remark the day's human traffic. Night bright and wise with revelation, we angle our attentions toward blood's several yawpings, the squawk of seed, the whine of nesting. She disappears at times, leaving a glint to cuff me, then off to where liberation's sexy voice leads. I leave a full plate and a neon carnation for her return, for the need, for the hunger, for the deeper reasons she always returns to me. Returns oft times at night, holy night, reverence to thee in wakefulness and restlessness. When together, we observe what emerges, when apart what disappears. Kindly night, buzzing architect of our touch, lingual lovemaking, night dancing, nocturnal ecstasy, pouring and burning and hollering and arriving into dreams, the door, dreams, the open door, dreams wherein Rebecca and I are never apart, bloodlight bonded, night raging, a herd wild, grieving, unsure, lost, clues everywhere, even fancies roar with godly might, a bellow of wounded yeses, a ballad of breech-bred bitches wed even ever to their numb, natty corpses. Build up, easier target to curse and firebomb. She says I love you and does not stir. Night, the blank paradise, still glimmers of resistance. Night awaiting continuous for the glaring puppets and young gems to return and better learned in the ways of he with club, he with property, he with leashed and muted heat. Filling, emptying, everywhere a prophet, a scripture, a chink explaining the beginning, happy wiggle of first days with one explaining the end. What way to float out? Buried and regretted? Released and expanding? How to depart with a greater cry than arrivals? Never end, stop crying from arrival to departure. She moves near, the answer is art, ever. The answer is art, ever. The answer ever is art. We decide that these stories must continue. That Lunatic's Cafe must continue. That Noisy Children must continue. This world that is ours belongs to the extended family that foremost people it. I write down its narrative. I am husband to one of its principles, but it is no longer merely my world. I have relinquished such claim. Anxious, irritated, closer to the source, fire explains only fire. Love reveals nothing. Trees provoke patience. Kindness seems more important. All this nods, old, tired, true, and good as a soul can be. There is movement. Nothing changes. Memories of a tin shack in the woods. Am I there with you, she asks. Memories mean nothing. Someone smiles pretty and asks me when Noisy Children is going to bust out tap dancing in the minefields again. Says they play all of their songs, but never with the narration. I shrug. Are you like Hunter and Marshall? You think I am? I'm guessing. Someone argued it on a website. Oh, it makes sense. It does? Sure, you don't play, you write. We figured you had some important role. I nod, another pretty smile and gone. Everything here remains at stake, more than ever. Gone the city, the map, the road, can only recollected with distorting buzz. No way back, no interest. Travel now virtually limitless, now beyond where, when. The predicament's subtler, the joys more missed than meet. Fear more in the pauses and distractions, big, attractive, empty worlds. Stop seeking, every sort of crazy scripture says. Wisdom from voice and star, rhythm and tree. Stop seeking, listen. But I don't know how to stop, don't want to stop, have never before stopped. It's okay, she says, I'll show you how, she smiles. Curious with existence, how to live and why. She looks at me, blue eyes, dark blue eyes, cannot be explained, she says, follow me in here, okay? Through a frame into a bedroom. Follow me in here, she says, to where things twist, fall, curves, tricks. There is too much meaning, then there is none. The floor perpetually gives way. The doors and windows do not help. What do we do now, Rev? She says, follow me, and we crawl into one of the frames on the wall. Watch from the other side, the collapse imminent. Follow me, and into empty poppy fields, absent of the human eye. We share a bouquet of dreams, become naked, become play, become easy, even beyond the subtlest hustles of rhythm and breathing. Follow me, she disappears, like the most revealing music does, into the endless fields of glowing wheat stacks. She nods, I smile, we agree. There is a corpsey blue man playing guitar without shaking the air, without jiggling a bone. Wild music sourced in no mortal nor any kind of singular personality. Yes, she nods, I smile, we agree. Six windows approach from a distance. A choice or a wealth. Follow me, I say, our blood heavy with blue music. Follow me, she replies. There are more windows. This was but the first. There will be more windows, thresholds, each with a communication and a lesson. A yawk, here we are, here we go. And I will do the writing with humble pen you painted for me, and you will do the painting with the bright brush my words handed thee. Here we are always, here we return, supersonic wheat stacks, we, accolades, masters, another marriage inside another collaboration. Hands twined, leading each other to the farthest wheat stack, the deepest glory, fecund glory. Potency. Yes, this is the one. One of us nods, the other agrees, and Wheatstack becomes window as my pen, her brush, render it true. One of its several moments anyway. Wheatstack in snowy field, lightful gray sky, trees and farmhouses in the distance, becomes a window where we pause for a time, cusp of further gain, seeming always partnered with equal amount of loss, true if measurements were valid. Now a tumble in, release, acquire, tumble on in. Call it reality, I say, and gesture to the most prominent wheat stack. Reb nods as she already knows, her hand sketching blurringly. I follow more slowly, taking in what we have here, the gray skies, the thick air, betokening coming or departing storm, the other stacks present and how eyes cannot quite grasp them all together. Each is alone, though all of them will eventually become food or rot. Still the one I began with is now called reality, uniquely among them, and Reb's fleet hand is producing an image of it foremost among them all. Rebecca sketches nearer and nearer to reality, seems to wish to climb within it. I watch as she does enter it, but it seems like the wheat stack makes room for her. She does not disappear within it, but made way for her sketch deepens, develops an impossible multidimensionality about it. She and reality grok deeper in this moment of making. I find myself drawn into reality, too. So connected am I with Rebecca that reality must have me, too. I'm still standing without the stack, and I sense Reb is too, while I feel us traversing deep within it, deeper than physically possible, for it or either of us. Toward what end, though? Toward the wheat stack field within, through another frame, the air warmer, the sunset not a bitter old winter light, and our corporeal selves, such as they are, arrive after us. And here we are, deeper and deeper, lapping at possible meaning with black pen, with sketch pad. Reality stands again before us, alone in this dreaming, again. No matter the trees in the distance, the farmhouse, the other wheat stacks, thawing and dreaming, neither remembrance nor regret, no expectation, no words of any kind, seeking release, final cessation to all suffering and music. Are we thusly arriving at meaning at last? Rebecca is sketching with both hands now. Her picture now has kinetic depth. She turns and smiles at me, and I sense we must enter her picture. Now, fate again leading corporeality. Reality now gains a communicative music.
drifts and swirls and follows us within the picture of itself. Calls for more colors, wilder music, the beginnings of a new freedom. Thinking not in cycles nor Maya, but to reinvent the world, you must begin everywhere and nowhere. Yes, Rebecca nods, and I agree. Within, without, both, neither, without sinking to fall and know nothing once more happily, her and her crayons, me and my football, her smearing jelly, me secret joy beneath a willow, her Dorothy, me Dorothy too, it seems to be our root, seems perhaps there is deeper, no doubt perhaps within's within, within's without, even deeper we share love of that which lies in ruin, behind a gate and a sign and a padlock. Rebecca nods. We leave reality behind. The truth of reality is no truth. We hold hands, my left, her right. I write, she sketches. We leave reality with poems and pictures hung to its strews. Leave neither entering nor passing on. The music is everywhere. One moves from note to note. No lines, all curves, without's without, without's within, within's without. All flows, all matters, nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. Nothing is unimportant. All feeds all. Everything ends, and it beats, and everything begins again. Rebecca is tired. We sit somewhere. There is cheese and bread and clear water. She curls in my lap. I feed her in tiny chunks. She chews slowly, kissing hard my cheeks after each piece is gone. She rests more easily, quietly, sleeps trusting in my arms. Fears not a thing. From dream to my embrace, she hums notes, searching, playing, scratching, to play or to play one true note, to offer it from within's within, like a new kind of kiss, one that stays, does not dry, unto death, the kiss burbling sunshine beneath this life's nightly bed of rubble, just once, and so she seeks, twists in my arms, I watch her mouth intently, will the kiss blossom there? No, this kiss emanates with chakra truth from many places, all connected, now one, this kiss, spasm, supernova, and I watch her and barely cohere to scribble, what burns in you is beauty, beauty burns in all creation, here you are, first and last flower of the world, there you'll go, joining other dreamers in those hills, there you'll be, now fully a dream, beyond knowing's fruitless toil. The old man rears up just then. Dr. Arnold T. Knickerbocker, who spends his dwindling days and nights at the bar of Lunatee's Cafe, drinking black coffee dosed with Kentucky bourbon, smacks his cane down hard on the counter, announcing his imminent set of observations. Tonight could be the night of revelation and extinction. Quiz not the motives of doom's sudden alarums. Wonder not at the first flares of apocalyptic news. Do not query the mute flora and fauna, testing and tapping the damnable limits of their aid and advice. The fields are empty of all save sinners fleeing futile stratagems. What lacks here at the end amongst our fugitive numbers is a softness, a mercy, tenderness. His voice drops. He stands shaky but does not fall. Raising a sweeping finger round the dim tavern, he continues, barely audible, tenderness does not reside among our mortal numbers any longer. The wanton and wicked bear now texts for eluding demise. Theses built from the inequities of modern science and contemporary lordlessness that claim unbesmirched souls now habitate this fallen world. Breaking off from this caterwaul suddenly, Knickerbocker agilely makes for the tavern's lone window and runs his cane straight through it, letting in a rush of wind and snow. Feel that
unredeemed dwellers within these tavern walls. Feel the coldness from without match with the permanent climb within thine souls. Mr. Bob the barman makes toward Knickerbocker, but America shakes his head. The stranger with his bottle sips hard and shakily says, call the cops, he's crazy. No reply to this. Rebecca appears to take Dr. Knickerbocker in hand, lead him to the manager's office couch and back. He is weeping and raging now, but diminishing. No tenderness, child. No tenderness, he repeats as he is led easily to his rest. No tenderness. None. Fuck it, one and all.
This song,
the 99th meeting theme song.
Well, this song is the beginning of the Jellicle Guild.
No, here's the microphone. The microphone's right here. See, no, no, don't hit it. I'm just pointing out to you. The microphone's here, so if you want to talk into it.
Exactly. All right, this song is for the beginning of the Jellicle Guild meeting. It's a little late. They say that love often passes in a second. You can never catch it up. So I'm hanging on to you as though eternity's ending. But it's clear that the match is love. Common sense should tell me not to try and contain you. But I'm after a piece of the time. So keep an eye open. My spirit ain't broken. Your love's so incredible. Your body's so edible. You give me an overdose of love. Well, just a little is enough. I'm like a connoisseur of champagne cognac. The perfume nearly beats the taste. I eat an oyster and I feel the contact. I'm more than one. A smile sets me reeling. A kiss feels like stealing. Your love is like heroin. This addict is mellowing. I can't pretend that I'm tough. When just a little is
Nocturne series.
Yeah.
Just like magic. You don't want it?
Have you heard my poetry read by somebody else?
My poetry read by someone else, rarely.
Have you heard that before?
Perhaps rarely, but very rarely.
Okay.
So, it would be a different experience.
Yeah. Museum of Fine Arts, Boston, September 2000. Dear Auguste Lamar,
Piazza Bougival, oil on canvas, 1883. Coveting her music, warm, sinewy. Because this ever-going silence is cold and dry, curves and colors what remains after anger, balance and beauty, pain harnessed to look ahead. Meaning and truth for as long as necessary, to laughter and flight. According to her music, she heeds only news, which does not break. Receiving her music, finally, one day, and love, the wisest truth's praise, and clarity, every dream conceals.
He understood it. It's still very good.
Pencil, brown ink, black ink, and wash with white opaque watercolor, 1883. He misses everything but the eye. The eye is safe. He knows that history, its demise, was honest. The rest drifts away slowly. Drift, drop. The rest is embarrassing, requiring a frequent change of lies. His remaining eye is widow, a keeper of closed records. Van Gogh's CN, a speculation. She is nothing between sittings, an old whore, unhappiness, with pen and brush, singeing paper, her moods and small tasks, approach meeting. I think sometimes she understands this, but I do not know. Perhaps I call it my secret, and am satisfied. Let her sew. Let her family graze about. Let her share my bed and us share what we can. But always she must pose, my pencils, my pen, my chalk. Skull, 1887-1888, oil on canvas. A fragile stone, packed with useless orifices, purpose lost, if ever, any organic material unsuited to wise or even meager continuance, perhaps brief occupation as a preacher's boutoy or budding surgeon's study rag, but in truth should be given in bags to children, to poor and wild ones, the ones who know that stones are for tossing in latter daylight and smashing when darkness and mother's calls arrive. Self-portrait dedicated to Paul Gauguin, 1888, oil on canvas. There can be no lasting bliss in this mortal life till nearly everything ever known is gone, till one's cell is in the air, one's scriptures the bees, till one's body reserves just a golden moisture, just a little golden moisture, till memory is nonsense, dreams bunk, all truth and future apparent in a candle's winking eye. Portrait of a One-Eyed Man, 1888 or 1889, oil on canvas. All is grief because we must have it so. So I learned this and now I understand. All is grief. Simple, eh? You want to ask me why? Of course you do. All is not grief. You wish to cry out, though you do not, perhaps. Out of respect for me, but no, I don't think so. No, it's worth. Worse. Perhaps you think I'm right. You fear it. A new cigarette, some bread, a knuckle rubbed against an irritating mustache. All is grief. More than this, I cannot say. Whether you choose to believe or disbelieve is up to you. A choice. A laugh. Several. More wine. Yes, quite. A choice, you see. Perhaps you don't ever need to decide. Perhaps you don't need to decide tonight. Perhaps never. Leave it in doubt, eh? Yes. Good. Self-portrait, 1889, oil on canvas. What's left is not death. No. Death is for morbid scribblers, for preachers, for sinners, for believers. In a consistency false to this comic universe's every obvious way. No, what's left is not death. Power. All this blessed power summoned up, waves of pulsing, potent muck, stars of twisted memories, the pictures. No, a constant wound. Defacements. Stars burned down to faggots. A life's anguish. An apex, a dream, of nothing, of something.
Mm-hmm.
She's been playing for 4 years, y'all.
I'm not talking about it. To the day I never got
over. Oh, 20 years ago, I've come into this life. Saw a woman and a man who lived in strife. He was tired of being poor, and he wasn't into selling door to door. And he worked like the devil to be more. Different kind of poverty now upsets his soul. Not after a sleepless night, I walk the floor and I want to know, why am I so alone? Where is my woman? Can I bring her home? Have I driven her away? Is she gone? Morning comes the sunrise, and I'm driven to my bed. See that it is empty, and there's devils in my head. I embrace the many-colored beast. I grow weary of the torment. Can there be no peace? And I find myself just wishing that my life.
Last sharp turn of the maglev overturns your briefcase. Yes, that's better. Wedged between your leg and the plastic ergonomic seat. You return to your crumpled newsfacks. You peruse the advice column, not finding anything interesting. You ignore the daily affirmation and the political cartoon. You begin to read of the construction lobby's attempts to suppress an environmental impact study on Savage Point's barking spider habitat. Then she enters the car. She walks directly past you and assumes the final seat in the train, going facing to the rears. She sticks your left foot up against the wall and stares out at the window. The car is dark except for your inadequate reading light. What illumination is present seems drawn into her. She dresses in black, high black boots, black tights, long black tunic. And most of all, you notice the leather jacket. An ancient brass buckle hangs it on a short strap. You notice a lone chain and chained up her right arm. She's not all dark. Caucasoid, her hair is blonde. Short, it rests upon the crest of your jacket. The contrast, a yellow yin, the jacket's yang. She turns, seeing you, not seeing you. She turns back to you, swiftly passing darkness beyond the window's steel glass. At the next stop, a brace of regular warriors for the train. They also wear leather, though theirs are stained and dirty. Greasy manes fall about their shoulders. They make a comment as they pass her. One bends, putting his ugly face near hers. She looks up and gutturals, "Chor e varpas." Her Yulin's face contorts. His purple lips part to reveal a filed sharp canine. His comrades guffaw and tug on his shoulder. You relax in your seat. You notice how tense you've become. She looks you away again, then back. She stares at her boots now. She casts a spell of aloneness, a spell even regulars are powerless against. She conjures herself an island cut off from the continent of humanity. Even the sea surrounding her infested with sharks and kraken and Arcturian eels of her own devising. You hold up your facts
to your face to blot out parchment of the walls. The boiling oil set to spill from her turrets. She gets off at the next stop. She stands, shorter than you imagined, towed the rail, waiting for the magical train to set down as its electromagnetic cushion is extinguished. You glance up. She's looking down at you. She smiles and is gone. The maglev moved on to the night.